Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast where powerful women rise, lead, and own the room. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host, fellow trailblazer, and unapologetic advocate for women in the world of business. With over 30 years of experience building success in a male-dominant industry, I'm here to empower you to do the same. Each week, you'll hear bold conversations with inspiring guests who embody strength, resilience, a little dash of sass, and a little bit of grace. Together, we'll challenge the status quo, break through barriers, unlock your confidence, and unleash your inner superhero. You ready? Let's go.
Hello and welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast that fiercely empowers women to step into command presence, own their role, and lead like the strong, capable women that they are. I'm your host, Kimberly Borgens, and today I'm joined with a woman who brings great value to the space of love, L-O-V-E, Dr. Elizabeth Rosner. We're going to go into what that means in just a moment, but Dr. Elizabeth Rosner, one of the amazing things about her that I am just so glad that she's on Superheroes in Heels with me today is this woman just exudes love. Every time I see her, she has the happiest smile on her face. She just loves on people. She is constantly loving on people. But let me tell you, there's a reason why. She is this phenomenal resource for a love revolution. She is a powerful, dynamic woman who has worked really hard in her life. And we're going to talk about some of those amazing things. But her core space about her love revolution is leading with love, which stands for letting others voluntarily evolve, or letting yourself evolve as well. And Dr. Elizabeth Rosner, I just am so excited to have you. You have so many accolades. I mean, you have such a great past, but more importantly, I just want to kind of look at where are we going now? What's happening today? And so Dr. Elizabeth Rosner, welcome to Superheroes in Heels with me today.
Kimberly, I am so delighted to be here. You know, I love a pom-pom. Thank you. Thank you for asking me to be a part of this amazing podcast. So excited about watching your trajectory and where things are heading for you. And really delighted and honored that you've asked, and great to be a part of things. Thank you.
Yay. Look, I remember, like, I have seen you at many events and everything else. And I remember a great connection that we had is I just loved, absolutely loved the necklace that you are wearing. Oh. And it was a fun necklace. I love wearing it, by the way. And it was a fun necklace. And, you know, I said to you, like, oh, can I borrow that? Because I was going up on stage and you said, absolutely. And so you let me borrow it. And then when I went to return it, you gifted it to me. You just said, you know, hey, I want to give this to you. I mean, that is just your heart, right? And me, I'm like, oh no, I can't take this, right? And you're like, yes, you can. Please accept that, please. And I did, you know, and then we got further into the story on that. And, you know, I loved how that actually came out. I just love that necklace. And yeah. You know, I just couldn't let it sit, but... But I, you know, it was a great it's a great reminder for me that sometimes, you know, it's okay to just go, oh, somebody's sharing some love with me.
Yes, exactly. Because it's very easy sometimes for us to give love. It's harder for us to receive love.
Absolutely.
You know, it's, you know, when we say love is letting others voluntarily evolve. So you're other focused. But when it's also letting ourselves voluntarily evolve, and what does that mean? Now, here's the crazy thing, Kimberly. You know, you insisted, like I told you the story of where I got it, and you insisted on gifting me something
yes.
in exchange. Do you know I still haven't?
No.
And every time I look at it, I'm like, but nothing has been compelling enough to not have a memory of Kimberly there. So, I mean, you know, when I open it, I see you all the time. So that's also the beautiful idea of connection is you never know what's the thing that's going to knit somebody's heart together. And I hope it's okay for me to say this. The reason why, obviously I wanted to gift it to you, but one of the most compelling things that you said was Lawrence loved it. And I was like, oh, ma'am, if Lawrence loves it, by all means, that was just such a sweet, sweet thing for him to even notice. And then for him to say it, then I was like, okay, so yeah.
Well, that's true. It's sometimes men don't pick up on the little things, right?
Right.
He's very clear on this one.
Right.
He still is like, oh, I love that one. Right. So that's true. That's a great story.
Good.
Okay. So let's dig in a little bit more on, tell us about leading with love. So those of you who are listening, I just want you to know this is an acronym, love. Letting others voluntarily evolve. And tell us a little bit about your journey in getting to leading with love.
I'm going to start with just the overarching name of my company is Love Revolution. And it has three pillars. It's based on a quote by Martin Luther King. And we can get into that later if you like. One of the pillars is leading with love. And for your audience, so y'all, I just turned 55. And I'm at the age that we did Shrinky Dinks
I remember
Shrinky Dinks? So I did a Shrinky Dink when I was 5 years old at summer camp. And it's one of these big pieces of paper, plastic.
Mm-hmm, that you write on.
Write on it or whatever. Then you put it in the oven and it shrinks it down. So it takes a paper sized piece of plastic and then shrinks it down. You can feel how hard it is. I did this at 5. God is love. Love is God. To mom and dad and Catherine from Elizabeth.
Oh.
You, Kimberly, at 5 years old, that love was a part of my story. Mm. But then the world came in and the world was like, oh, love is weak and love is stupid and it's passive and it doesn't work and you got to have it siloed or you got to be tough and you can't show love or, love is just really like that Eros love, that brotherly love or the romantic love. And so it's really only reserved for a few people. And we need to be fiercely independent. And in so doing, we need to define our groups. So you're either this or this, and you got a lot of dividing lines. And it's and I was tripping over all these dividing lines. And it was not until I encountered the philosophy and methodology of nonviolence, mm-hmm. which is a love-centered philosophy.
Yeah.
That it really brought my understanding to a full circle moment. And now in everything that I do, particularly in leading with love, I will say our mission is teaching 8 billion people to love 8 billion people one heart at a time.
Mm.
And it's amazing how many people go, oh, that's great. It's also amazing how many people go, no.
Exactly.
No. And,
I think that's true because I think what happens is we teach... We're taught how to love people by the people who were taught how to love people who were taught by the people how to love people, right? So this goes back a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. what we need to do is learn to expand yes. that space of love.
Yes.
That it's not just for your immediate family.
Yes.
That it's not just for your best friends,
yes.
right? But it can be, I can love somebody where they are, even if they're not where I want them to be.
Yes.
Right. I can love people from a different culture. I can love people from a different background. I can love people who don't actually get along with my ideologies.
Right.
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 And so I love that about you. And let's dig in just a little bit deeper on this. Tell us a little bit about your work with the King Center.
So for those of you that are listening, I grew up in Athens, Georgia, which is about an hour and a half outside of Atlanta. So it's about an hour and a half from the King Center. And I'm white and obviously I'm Southern, and it is entirely possible to grow up in the South and just stay in your little white bubble. And as I mentioned to you all, I'm 55. And so I graduated at a time where I was taught implicitly and explicitly that the Civil War was about states' rights and not slavery. And so when my son was in high school and he was doing U.S. history, he was talking about the Civil War. And I said, well, you know, that it was fought on states' rights, not slavery. And he said, Mom, the states' rights to do what? And I was like, huh. And, you know, everybody has a different brain mechanism. And I am really, really grateful that God gave me a brain that said, if information comes in that doesn't match what's already in there, rather than me immediately rejecting it, which happens a lot of the time, then I need to go, huh, why isn't that fitting in? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had been already on this process a little bit of unlearning and relearning. I had read Race Matters by Cornel West in my PhD program, and that started me doing some thinking. And so anyway, because of Alexander saying that, then I started really doing some investigating, found the King Center on Twitter, and attended my first 2-day orientation to Dr. King's methodology and philosophy in April of 2018. And I mean, Kimberly, when I tell you, I mean, God said to me sitting at the King Center, you will spend the rest of your days teaching nonviolence around the world.
Wow.
No idea what that meant. None. Yeah. No idea what that meant. And now every single thing that I do is grounded and rooted in Kingian nonviolence. So I attended the orientation in April. In August of 2018, I get an email from Dr. Bernice King, which is Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott King's youngest child. Mm-hmm. She says, I'm asked to teach my father's philosophy. I don't have the capacity to do that. I'm assembling a training team. Are you interested? And honestly, I thought, well, who says no to Dr. Bernice King? Yeah, I'm interested, whatever, you know. Anyway. I didn't know. Was she, you know, asking 100 people, 1,000 people? I had no idea. There are 10 certified trainers. There are 3 senior trainers, and there's Dr. Bernice. That's it.
Wow.
That is it.
Wow.
And I tell my students all the time that an hour a day is 4% of our day. And so I study Dr. King and nonviolence an hour a day, every day, because it's 4% of my day. And that's where I want to put that 4%, because it is not easy out here when life is lifing. You know, it can be easy for love not to happen. And so I want to be a bearer of love. Obviously, Kimberly, you and Lawrence, you know, you're just so easy to love. And so I'm grateful that you see that love in me. However, there are people that I encounter that are far less easy to love than you, beautiful soul. And I also want them to encounter me as embodying love, whether or not they accept it from me or not.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I was just in a mastermind session, because I'm in a couple of different masterminds, but I was in a session and somebody was talking about, you know, sometimes you just have to let people go and move them, you know, move on without them. And I kind of interjected and I said, I don't agree with that. Yeah. I said, sometimes the people that are your biggest critics are mm-hmm. your family members, right? Mm-hmm. And as that happens, how do you stop loving them? You can't just push them aside.
Right.
You can't just say, I'm not going to love you because you don't agree with my philosophy and what I'm doing in life.
Right.
Right. And so I talked about, like, you can, you know, if you look at like a target, you know, the circles, the different circles, right? Is I can move people out a few rungs so that they don't have as much closeness to me, but I can still love on them.
Yes.
I can still keep them together in my circle of influence, just not my close-knit circle in that moment.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And that's people of different opinions than me and mm-hmm. people who, you know, don't like what I'm doing or, you know, get mad when I mention God, because I can't be authentic if I just can't be me. Right.
Right.
So I'll allow you to be authentic and be you.
Right.
Right. Right. I don't have to throw everybody out just because they don't agree with me. They don't like me. They don't want to support my goals.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Right? And so they were like, oh, I like that idea. Like, because they hadn't thought of it. They're ready to just mm-hmm. throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes. Yes.
You know, what you may not realize is I grew up in Virginia, North Carolina, and Tennessee.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. So in my early years, that's where I was a military brat. We lived over there. And I'll say y'all and all y'all.
You kind of went into it right there. That sounds good.
Me with a few Southern gals, and it comes right back.
Yes.
There's a whole different mindset. There's a whole different mindset on the East Coast of the United States than there is on the West Coast of the United States.
Right.
I'm blessed because the city that I live in has been voted as the most diverse city in the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah. So it has been proven we have every culture. And so if you're not willing to get along with everybody, how do you fit in?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But there's some places that it's easy to fit in because that's all that's there.
That's exactly right. Yes.
And what we want to do is expand our mind. And I love something that you said about, thinking the way that you think is there's no auto rejection for something that doesn't quite fit what your normal thinking is. Let me think about that because that's not what my brain already knows.
Yes.
And I think that that's powerful. If people can take that away from today, we're going to talk about all kinds of other things that they can still take away. But I mean, if you really think about that for just a moment, and that's included in business, right? Because I'm a business girl and I'm thinking this through business wise, is how often do we go, oh, that's not how it's supposed to be done. Right? Mm-hmm. That's not how you do it. You know, in business, sometimes you have to expand your thinking in order to grow.
Right.
And so I love that statement.
Yeah. And it's what helped me honestly grow Love Revolution to have three relatively distinct pillars under the umbrella of love. And you and I, are both dear friends and mentored by Sandra Yancey. And she talks about the power of iteration. Mm-hmm. And not too long ago, I was in a networking group, not Sandra's networking group, but another one. And somebody said, wow, I really need to work on the way that I present about my business. They didn't call it the 1 minute, Yeah. And in my mind, I was thinking, well, I've been a part of eWomen for almost 6 years. So 6 times 12 is how many, in-person luncheons I've been to, many SBIs, plus how many icons, plus, and so it's the power of talking about it and tweaking it. And it's also the power of not memorizing it. I mean, it's authentically who I am. And it took a while to integrate, particularly it took a while to integrate leading with love or love and debt-free degree. Mm. That's me and the King Center. Cause it was, even in my head, it was very siloed. Right. So this overarching concept and how do you get to that? It's a powerful way that we as women can show up because like you have the word diamond behind you. And I use that example all the time is that we are not one faceted. We are multifaceted.
Absolutely.
And two things can be true at the same time. If you look at a diamond, and I'm only looking at this aspect, I think that's the only truth. Mm-mm. There's this other truth over here that's equally true.
Absolutely.
So, it's you just have to say, okay, how does this work for me? How do I navigate this?
Yeah. Well, my name, Kimberly, it's spelt with the L-E-Y at the end.
Right.
I was named after Cape Kimberly, a South African diamond mine. With a diamond in the rough. And I just, I just got back, I was in Africa in March and went there and had the opportunity to kind of see how diamonds were cut and how they create all those facets on, on a diamond. So I love that analogy of,
you were going to go right there. Like when I said that, who knew? I had no idea. That is so powerful. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how many different angles can you look at this and see something different?
Yes.
Right. And I think people forget to do that in their businesses. I think people forget to do that in their relationships.
Yes. Like,
my husband and I have been together for 35 years. Good Lord. I don't know how that happened, but still 35 years. And I can look at him and go, it's just the same old, same old. Right? Or I can go, maybe if I'm thinking it's the same old, maybe I need to start looking at another facet, another direction of him.
That's right.
Right.
That's,
You know, don't tell him this, right? But because, you know, my husband, God bless him, he's a father of four, and he has got dad jokes down, right? Like he can say dad jokes. And when he says these dad jokes, he thinks he is just so doggone funny, right? And I'm looking at him and I'm like, no, just dumb. But the funny thing about it is I realized like, that's not the energy I really want to give to my husband.
Right.
So now what I'm doing, I don't think he's caught on yet. Okay. But I said to him, like, he'll do this little dumb dad joke because they're meant to be dumb. I know that. Right. But in my brain, I'm like, that's just why. Right. So he's doing these little jokes and I'm like, and then just walk away. Just kind of shifted. And he's kind of looking at me kind of odd. You know, we got to keep the things moving around in relationships.
Exactly.
Okay. So I digress, but let's move back over. Tell us a little bit about, you just mentioned it, debt-free degree. What is debt-free degree mean?
Debt-free degree, and it under the love umbrella, it is love yourself enough to say no to student loans and yes to financial freedom. To say no to debilitating debt and yes to personal and generational wealth. So I'm very excited that I published a book last year, Debt-Free Degree. It is truly lays out the entire group blueprint of Debt-Free Degree. So my story is that I earned 3 degrees, including my PhD, and I only took $1,000 in loans. So I can map any degree completely debt-free. Now, there's been some things, Kimberly, in the last few years that have made it more difficult, not impossible. We certainly can do it, but more difficult. And then there are some, you know, a lot of people will say, I don't discuss politics with anybody. I just don't. I will say, I rarely discuss politicians with folks. However, at the root, politics are policies. Absolutely. And policies impact us. And there are some policies in a recently passed bill through the U.S. House that have direct negative implications for a debt-free degree. Like one of the proposals is that scholarship money and grant money now be taxed as income.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about how do you get grants and scholarships. Now, if you've got to pay taxes on that, then you've got to get even more taxes, I mean, more grants and scholarships. The other consideration, Kimberly, is that I went to a phenomenal state school here in Georgia. It's a tiny little school. I got a great degree. I have really some of my dearest friends on the planet. We're still like, there's like 27 of us in a Facebook group that we can talk about every single thing that we want to talk about in that Facebook group. And that lovely state school, this tiny little lovely state school for 8 semesters, which is a 4-year degree, for 8 semesters is $100,000 today.
Wow. Yep. Yeah.
And so there are some schools, there's, you know, an elite school here in Atlanta, there's one in Tennessee, that their cost of attendance per year is approaching $100,000.
Yeah.
8 semesters is $400,000.
Absolutely.
So one of the things with debt-free degree is love yourself enough to say no to student loans. To go into that debt, whatever that looks like. And so I just spoke with a student the other day who actually is from the UK, and I know nothing about the UK system, but because I network, worldwide, then her dad and I were in a group together. Obviously, I've never met him in real life. And he was like, hey, Dr. Ross can help you. So we had a whole conversation. And she, you know, she just graduated with her bachelor's. And she ultimately wants her doctorate, which is a medical doctor. She wants to be a clinical psychologist. And so there was like this really, I was like, okay, what is the quickest through line? Well, the quickest through line in her mind seemed like it wasn't going to happen. It was like kind of a shot in the dark. So then there's this other route that you can go, but that also is difficult. Then there's this third way, which involves getting a master's in between, but then that could involve debt. And so how do you achieve that? And so it's all of these things, and we're all making choices. We are all making choices. For people though, that are, you know, graduating with honestly, Kimberly, 37% of all students who owe student loan debt have six figures in debt.
Yeah.
And so how it is that we can help. So I started doing this really in 2005. So my parents said, we don't go into debt for education. And that's just what I did.
Yeah.
And the $1,000 came from one summer quarter. That's how old I am on the quarter system, is the grants and scholarships and other things that I had put in place. For the other three quarters, they didn't pay during the summer. So I go into financial aid. I say that in air quotes because financial aid is not there for Elizabeth to graduate debt-free.
Right.
Financial aid is there for Elizabeth to get access to loans,
right,
to pay the finances that the school is charging. Okay.
Right.
But I go in there and I say, hey, I want to, you know, get a scholarship for $1,000. And she goes, oh, we don't have any scholarships in the summer. Just take this $1,000 loan. You can figure out how to pay it off later. And I did. Mm-hmm. Even though I had been taught my entire life, we do not go into debt for education. That's where my $1,000 comes in. So this gentleman right here, I helped him graduate in 2005 with a debt-free degree. He now has 12 children. These are six of his 12. His baby is Elizabeth. She's the baby, and she's named after me, which I'm so honored and delighted. But I'm now helping second generation, all six of his oldest are in middle school, high school, or college. They're all on track for a debt-free degree.
Wonderful.
So I'm second generation because it's a mindset as much as anything. I mean, that's the truth for a lot of things, but truly about debt-free degree, it's a mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when I went to college, I had to take out student loans.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any extra cash laying around, and I didn't, you know, nobody was there to teach me how to do what you do, right, Dr. Elizabeth.
Right.
And I had to take out loans, and, you know, lucky for me, I was smart enough to only take out what I needed.
Right.
Yes. And I did. And I paid that off. It took me, I don't know, I think about 5 years, mm-hmm, after college. But one of the things I will have to say, it's a little contrary to you. So since you're open-minded, I will share it.
Share it, sister, share it.
Is when my kids went to college, though, they we had the money to take care of it because we'd planned it all out, right? But one of the things that I did is I made them take a student loan,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
A $5,000 student loan. And I did that intentionally because, mm-hmm, I wanted them to build credit. Because,
mm-hmm,
this, mm-hmm, society right now, everything is about credit.
Gotcha.
Right? And so it's not, you know, they don't want to do cash or, you know, checks aren't a big deal. You know, nowadays everything is like, let me just run that card, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm, one of the things I did with my kids is I had them take out a student loan when they went to school, $5,000, and then had them pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, mm-hmm, you can work. We'll pay it off. Let's get it paid off. I don't care. I made payments for it when they worked for me.
Yes.
Right? Like, yes. My kids, right, raising them up and everything else. I said to them, I said, like, look, guys, I'm not going to give you money. I'm not going to just hand you money. You come to mama and you say, I need some money. I'm not going to just give you money, but I'll always have a project.
Yes.
Right? I'll always have a project that you can earn some money.
Yes.
And so,
yes,
sometimes they earn some money working for projects and then I put it toward their student loan, right?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But exactly. I have to say that I have raised these amazing kids who understand the value of credit.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
And I will also say, in my open-mindedness, we're very much saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Because we're very much saying, don't take it without thinking smartly about it.
Yes.
What I oftentimes hear, Kimberly, and this is what I thought you were going to say, which is interesting because that's not what you said, is I want my kids to have skin in the game. Well, a debt-free degree, you're going to have skin in the game. I mean, a student that's earning a debt-free degree, they're going to put in the hard work. So, however, you're exactly right. A debt-free degree is not achieving that credit box. And you didn't have them take out, you know, loans for half of the amount, you know, $5,000, which is, you know, four different too.
Yeah.
And so all of that is,
you know, dollars, right? Something. But I have to tell you one more thing is one of my sons, he says to me, he calls me up one day. He says, mom, like, what happened? I'm like, what do you mean? I don't understand what happened. He's like, my credit score changed. It went below 800.
Yep.
I mean, it went below 900. That's what he said. It went below 900.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, honey, it's okay. He's like, no, why did it go below 900? I had kept it up there,
yes,
you know, and everything else. And I said, well,
yes,
what did you do? He said, well, I finished paying off my,
exactly,
loan. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. That's a celebration. I said,
yes,
but every time you do something with money,
mm-hmm,
it's going to make an adjustment on your credit score, right? Because mm-hmm. it's really, it's a score that, you know, other people come up with, but it's always changing.
Always.
It's always yes. changing. But yes. my son was so proud that he had kept it so high, right?
Yes.
In his mind, because I educated them around credit, right? In his mind, he's like, I need to keep my score 850 or better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, it's fluctuated now because he bought vehicles and, you know, and right. all that. But right. I mean, it was just a funny thing to me that, you know, when he picked up the phone and called me because he was all upset because his credit score went below 900.
Yes,
the
exactly.
only thing he had was a student loan.
Right, 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 right. Well, and what, you know, you were talking about earlier about how information comes in and I evaluate it. I had a friend of mine that I've known since elementary school. We don't have each other's phone numbers. We're not besties or, mm-hmm. I mean, we don't converse other than outside social media, but she saw that I was doing a debt-free degree webinar. And so she attended. And after 20 minutes of this webinar, she had two questions. One was, where do I go to find the best rate on student loans?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, second question, I'm really struggling with this. How do I situate my income in such a way that best makes sure that my son gets as much student loan as he can get? I was like, I don't have the answer to that. So after 20 minutes with me, every bit of that information, it just bounced right off because in her mind, And this is true for so many students. In her mind, you go to college with student loans or you don't go to college.
Right.
And so it's me getting that debt-free degree message out there to break through the human algorithm of take the loans and figure out how to pay it off later. And, you know, even recently I was reading some articles and it was all geared towards brand new graduates and brand new professionals and blah, 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 and having to do with money. Always in a top 10, always was, and this is how you pay off your student loans.
Yeah.
Always. As if everybody has to have them. And that's just a myth.
Yes. It's just. Thank you. It is a myth. It is a myth because the truth is that it's just money and you can plan ahead. You can create the space that when you finish school, you don't have to be so stressed about right. finding the right job in that moment because right. you have so much to pay off in student loans.
Right.
It's really right. about finding the right job, the right business, the right, you know, thing that just makes your soul sing
yes.
for you. And
yes.
if you have all that debt on your shoulder, it doesn't That's allow exactly you right. to have that space to do that.
That's right. That's right? exactly right.
Because now you have this debt you got to pay off. You got to get into any job and it's got to be the best job and, you know, mm-hmm. the most money so that we can go and pay off this debt instead of the right job that fits your heart and soul, yeah. that makes yeah. you fall in love with the people around you and what you're doing as a job or business, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that that's huge. I think what you're doing is giving a huge value to people when they can really like shift their mindset about mm-hmm. education equals debt.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah. you have something you called a grit system around this. So tell us a little bit about that. Cause I, you know, we talked earlier that, you know, men have grit, right? They get in there and it's grit, but women forget that they also have grit. So tell us yeah. a little bit about grit.
Yes. And I will also say women have great intuition. Men do too, but women have great intuition. And I have a word of the year every year mm-hmm. and it comes from my higher power. And I started realizing that I was actually getting my word of the year in September, which is also an interesting timing kind of thing. And so my word of the year for 2019 was grit. Mm-hmm. And I retired from higher ed December of 2018. So I had no idea what grit, how that was going to be impactful to me. So I use the grit blueprint or, you know, the acronym grit in all of my coaching and teaching, whatever it is. So in terms of debt-free degree, the G is grants and scholarships. So there's $46 billion in grants and scholarships. So even if they are going to be taxed as income, you know, just apply for a few more and let's cover that. But there's that much out there. Plus, I think because the federal government may be cutting so many of their grants and scholarships, then I think organizations, companies, corporations, they're going to come in and kind of fill that gap. We just had Delta here in Atlanta just announced a $16 million investment in the school system in and around the airport here in Atlanta. So nice. We're going to see corporations stepping up. The R is return on investment, ROI. And so recently I was with a family and the mom is a teacher, and she has over $200,000 in student loan debt.
Wow.
Because every time she wanted to increase her pay, you know, similar to Kimberly, like Kimberly said to her child, if you want some money, then come to me and you've got a project.
Right.
Now, you know, you can earn money. Well, the school system was kind of like every single time you earn a certificate or add on another degree or something, we're going to increase your pay.
Yeah.
She had not yet ever calculated the ROI, the return on investment. And she said, I'll never pay off $200,000. Never.
No,
and
not as a teacher.
You what, Kimberly?
Not as a teacher, she won't.
Right. There are some student loans that they, you know, when you pass away and the knowledge in your head is gone, that loan passes to your heirs for them to pay off. Not all of them, but some of them do that. I have no idea if she's in that kind of boat. And so she had never considered ROI. Mm-hmm. The I is interconnection. That's the I in all of my programs, because it's this idea that we individually as people can be interconnected. And how do we network and all of that? But even within ourselves, how do you work smarter, not harder? Mm-hmm. How do you make sure that things are, when you can, that you can streamline and that kind of thing. And then the T is my proven triangle approach. So if you think about a triangle, a three-legged stool, there's SM, which is student money. There's FM, which are your friends, your family, your folks, the people you're familiar with. And then we have our favorite, and it is OPM, and it stands for other people's money. Think about it, Kimberly. Every single dollar is OPM, every single one, because either I have given my time and talent to someone else for them to pay me, or they have given me money or donated money, or I've inherited money, or I've won the lottery.
Somehow,
some way, every single dollar we have is OPM. That goes back to that interconnection piece. How are we using OPM? Because I'm not aware of there being $46 billion in grants and scholarships to help me buy a home or to help me buy a car.
Right.
But there's that much money so you can go to school debt free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's huge. I hope our listeners can really see that there's... Education, look, education is great. I'm all for education. The more that you know, the more knowledge that you have, the more skill sets that you can bring to the marketplace, the more valuable you become, as long as you utilize it correctly, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And so in education, you can get other people's money. You can get grants and scholarships. You can do all those things. And you can't do the same thing without putting in the work. So military, for example, right? Military, you go into the military and you get out you can get a VA loan, which will help you with your buying a house. But there's not that many scholarships, like you said, available for buying houses and buying cars and doing all the other stuff. So why not utilize your educational side of it so that you can then save for those other pieces in life that don't have that offering.
And speaking of the military, you know, oftentimes people will say, okay, I've heard you say you can map any degree debt free. Tell me how you can do that with, you know, a legal degree or a medical degree or something like that. And I was talking to a mom, and she and I were both vendors at a community awareness fair. And so I was there with debt free degree. She was there with her organization. Her daughter was on track. She is on track to become a medical doctor. She asked me, how would I map that debt free if I can do it? And I said, military is a great way to do that. And she said, oh no, we would never do that. You know, she kind of did her head like this. Okay, that's up to you. And she said, my daughter has accrued $400,000 in student loan debt thus far, $400,000. And she is going to do a repayment plan. So she's going to go work for a hospital. And then after she does that for X amount of years, then it'll wipe all that out. My understanding is many, if not all of those repayment plans are also now non-existent. So here's this young lady who consciously knew that there was a debt-free option that she said, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. But fine, we all have choices.
Yeah.
And also, I'm going to do this other thing, but now this other thing isn't available.
Yeah.
So now she's on the hook for $400,000 plus whatever she accrues between now and the time she graduates.
Yeah. They have to recreate and rethink some new ways on doing all of that now. Right. Because if not, right. You know, it's just going to be constant debt for the rest of her life.
Right.
You know, I think that the biggest thing that I hear from you, Dr. Roz, is, well, first off, we just got to love everybody. This is love revolution. Right?
Yes. Love it. Yes.
Love out there in the world. And you know, really rethink how we think on stuff, right? That auto rejection, let go of that auto rejection so that we can see that love in the world.
Yes.
And then also when it comes to the debt-free degree, right? Is you have that book, it shares all that information, but we have to rethink, you know, what we automatically will reject when it comes to education.
Yes.
And do something just a little bit different.
Yes.
And, you know, and we got to bring that grit to the table as women,
right.
Just to trust our intuition, which we have a lot, but, you know, to expand that and dig deeper into it. Mm-hmm. I just think that's wonderful. So let me, some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see, heels or sneakers?
Oh, sneakers.
Sneakers. Is there a time when you do wear heels?
And I was about to say, I'm in my mother of the groom era. My son is engaged. Woo-hoo. And he's getting married early next year to the most delightful. I am truly, truly gaining a daughter, and I am so excited. And so she was actually at our house yesterday, and we were talking about how she said, you can either wear, you know, like mid-calf length dress or floor length. And at first I was like, I might do mid-calf, but then I was like, ooh, floor length means I don't have to wear heels. So
being strategic there.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, no heels ever.
Okay. Let's see. Favorite day of the week and why?
Today. Today is always my favorite day.
You know, that is you.
Yes. You. Yes. Yes. And actually, I end every day with YAY.
What does that mean?
So, Monday, Tuesday, threes, or Wednesday, you know, instead of, you know, Monday. You know, and a lot of people say Friday. Well, yeah, Friday.
Yes.
But I mean, you know, there are other 6 days that end in YAY. So,
that's awesome. I love that. Tell me, what's something that's still on your bucket list?
Ooh, on my bucket list. Well, my husband and I just, we did a cruise at Thanksgiving last year, and we discovered that we liked it. And we discovered that we really liked the boat. And I had a networking call, and just in the process of that call, this woman said, my husband and I love cruising. We've been on like 25 cruises. And I said, what has been your favorite? She said, well, it's only for people that really like a boat. And I was like, okay, you know, because you're at sea so many days. But she said it is, it's when they're switching the boat over from being an Alaskan cruise to a Caribbean cruise in the winter. And so it's Vancouver to Hawaii. And we're doing that in October. So I'm really excited.
Good for you. That's wonderful. Okay. Yeah. So then you'll be able to check that bucket list off.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
If you had any superpower, if you could get any superpower, what would it be?
Oh my God. Why? Okay, I have the superpower of love.
Yes, you do.
I need the superpower to ensure that 8 billion people love 8 billion people.
See? That is your superpower. And why is that important for you?
Because when we all look at each other and we all realize we all have dignity, we all have worth, when we realize that the violence and the oppression and the conflict, that just because we've done it for millennia, it's not working. And when you think about the means and the ends, you know, you, as Jimmy Carter says, you can't bomb your way to peace. You know, even when my son was young, I spanked him with a wooden spoon because I was spanked with a wooden spoon. And I spanked him because he was throwing sand at another kid in a sandbox. I inflicted violence on my child to teach him not to inflict violence.
Right.
And we this without thinking. And so if 8 billion people are loving 8 billion people, we're not going to see the violence and the oppression and the inequity that we have now. Now, will we have conflict? Absolutely. We're not all going to agree.
Right.
However, to watch our world house hum with the idea of 8 billion people loving 8 billion people, what can we accomplish, y'all?
Amen. Come on. Absolutely. Woo! This is such a great episode, Dr. Roz. I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to stay. You know, like I already said, there's been some key takeaways, some very powerful pieces that we can take away. Look, if you want to get in connection with Dr. Roz, it's really easy. Dr. Roz, D-R-R-O-Z, because that's what she lovingly goes by, very affectionately. DrRoz.love. So DrRoz.love. Go see that. That's her website. Connect with her. She's also on, of course, every social platform, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, that you can connect with her, Dr. Elizabeth Rosner. You know, and you can also connect with her when you go to DrRoz.love to get her a mini session of Leading with Love mini session. I think that's of huge value. So make sure that you have that opportunity to you know, go over there and connect with her, because look, I know that my connection with you has been just a wonderful space, full of love, full of heart. You have some amazing qualities about you that more people, if they could just step into them just a little bit, make a huge difference in our world. And so I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you.
So make sure that you connect with Dr. Roz. Look, if you love this podcast today, then please share it with your friends. Write a review. You know, who knows, I might actually mention you in an upcoming episode. But if this is something that you know somebody who's thinking, you know, the graduation season is right here, and you think somebody needs to learn how to go to college debt-free, then this is the time to get, either get the book, Debt-Free Degree, or connect with Dr. Roz at drroz.love. Yes. But really, you know, dig in, because you can make a difference in somebody else's life by sharing this information. So share this episode, subscribe to the podcast, and you know, put it on social. That would be ways to get more women to be able to come and listen to our podcast. Next episode is going to be a powerful one. I will be talking about when is your comfort zone good for you?
Ooh.
Right? Like, most of the time you hear leaders talking about how you can't, you know, you don't move ahead, you don't grow when you're sitting in your comfort zone. And I'm going to challenge that in my next episode. So yeah. I hope that you look forward to us. Dr. Roz, thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Thank you, love. Thank you for having me. What a delight and joy. And I will forever associate you with diamonds.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to Superheroes in Heels with Kimberly Borgens. If you're walking away feeling a little braver, a little bolder, and a whole lot more powerful, mission accomplished. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. It helps us to reach more women who are ready to unleash their power and lead with confidence. And if you do leave a review, you might just hear your name in an upcoming episode. If today's conversation lit a fire in you, share it with your network and join us inside the Hive Society at KimberlyBorgens.com, where powerful women gather to break barriers and rise together. Until next time, keep showing up, standing strong, and heels or not, keep embracing your inner superhero.